Blog Talk Radio.
It had to be trouble. It had to be trouble. I wandered around. Finally found someone to talk to. Their communist crew that pulled off the coup. You'll make us all betray. Red, white, and blue.
Got to make that adjustment for the volume because I know you couldn't hear the words. I thought when I did it, it was perfect, but when I transferred it, it lost volume on the voice end. So I will redo it and we'll play it again until we get it right. So the topic for tonight, Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. The subject for tonight is cheer up and things could be worse. So I cheered up and sure enough, it got worse. And one of the items that is a sore spot with me is called the two communist buzzwords, radical Islam. And so I've addressed it this way, brainwashing buzzwords. The most abused brainwashing buzzwords are radical Islam. You can read front to back and back to front the Holy Quran, and not once will you see the words radical Islam. And doesn't it crack you up when you hear people saying Democrats saying the Holy Quran? They can't say the Quran. See, an American would say the Quran. American wouldn't say the Holy Quran. Only a Muslim would say the Holy Quran. So these people, they'd like to identify with the Muslims. But the Muslims ain't buying it. You're kafir and you're going to die. Yes, that's right. Whether by my hand or my brother's. Yep. So you can read from back to front the Quran, and not once will you see the words radical Islam. There is only one Islam. There is only one God. I take it from a Saudi, a Muslim, who I was in Saudi Arabia with, who was deeply religious, and every time we passed a mosque, he would stop the car and run in and pray. And after about the fourth mosque, he turned to me and he said, "Do you know what we do when we catch people drinking alcohol?" And he's looking at an Irish face and a beer belly. And I said, "No, what could that be?" He says, "We take them in front of the mosque and we whip them." I said, "Oh my God, you would need a drink after that, wouldn't you?" Yeah. So I posed this question to him while he was telling me that Christmas doesn't count, just like the Democrats do. And I said to him, suppose a man in darkest Africa, in an isolated area, has never seen civilization, and he worships a tree. All his life he does good things as he worships his tree. And he lives a good life, but he worships a tree. When he dies, will God accept him into paradise? And he said, "No. There is only one God, it is Allah." Isn't that something? Now, these are the same people that pray to Abdul Rahim, the merciful God. They're always praising God as the merciful God, but they're not too merciful, these people. The word radical Islam can be found in the ancient book of Shmucks, usually followed by the final blood-gargling words, "But you said..." The so-called self-identifying Western Arabists who don't know a Democrat from a camel's ass introduced the word radical as two planes, Allahu Akbar, their way to two buildings. "Shh, stop your crying. We're going back to the airport. We just have to go through these two buildings here." Yeah. And that's what happens. The only people that stood up, you know where they are, in Shanksville. They got the word. After the second plane hit, they knew they were the third plane to be hit. And they stood up, and they stood together, except for that one Democrat coward in the back saying, "Let's negotiate." These warrior martyrs. The word radical Islam can only be found in the ancient book of Shmucks, usually followed by the blood-curdling words, "But you said," and the two planes that Allahu Akbar, the World Trade Center, they were directed from Saudi Arabia. Actually, they were directed from Afghanistan by a Saudi who happened to be the son of a mosque builder. He built the Grand Mosque in Mecca. These warrior martyrs attain the highest level of sainthood. Their families are revered and rewarded. They receive 72 virgins in paradise. It started out at 4, but the American media increased it to 75. It is rumored that the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal are giving 80 with a coupon. Wall Street Journal, I don't buy the fact that you are playing conservative. I see you harpooning El Trumpo, and I know you work for Waltzing Matilda. That's my code word for Murderdoc. Rupert Murderdoc. One thing is for certain, when you hear some dumbass politician saying a beautiful religion has been hijacked by a handful of radical Muslims, they are iceberg scouts on the Titanic. They have no idea what's going on. What is it? FUBAR? World War II saying? They are FUBAR. Shahadis are the most deeply religious Muslims. Today they die for Allah. It is hard for peaceful Muslims not to take the side of Allah when the time comes. Just ask Obama bin Laden. If a Muslim father can cut his daughter's throat for dressing like a Kardashian, What mercy will he show your daughter or son? When a Greek soccer team that flies a cross on their flag observes a muzzle of silence to honor dead Parisians at a soccer game, and the Turkish fans shout Allahu Akbar, you know it is more than a handful. So, having said that, I'm going to jump to a tune. Let's see, we'll give you a little Mahalia Jackson, because the communists are at work tonight in Chicago. They are very clever. The mayor of Chicago is a communist, and he says, never let a good crisis go to waste. So this cop, whether or not he is right or wrong, I don't know the situation. He was convicted, and he committed the crime a long time ago. But the mayor saved it because he wanted the crisis not to go to waste, and he saved it for prime time. And that's what makes the conspiracy theory more probable. So here's Mahalia Jackson. Oh, we don't have Mahalia Jackson. Okay, I'll give you a different tune. This is an Irish tune. The word is Makushla. It means my darling. And I play this every time I do a memorial to 911. And I dedicate it to a girl named Melissa, who was trapped on the 88th floor. And I just seen her picture for the first time. She was beautiful. I think she was Latino. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure she had a Latino last name. Her name was Melissa. And so this is for you, honey. You left a goodbye message on your mother's voicemail. And I'm sure it's still there, and I'm sure she plays it every day. 911. Thank you. I was looking at some YouTube clips of 911. You know that Trump and Carson both said that they heard, they saw Muslims cheering and giving out candy in Jersey City, I think they said. And Fox jumped right on it and denied it ever happened. And I think Fox is lying, because I thought I saw people celebrating, and then they must have removed it right from the news the night of 9/11. But I thought I saw them in Brooklyn. And I do know that a building inspector in Brooklyn went to an apartment that had been occupied by Iranians, and he had the fire department go in there, and they saw a map of the subway system on a wall. And the Iranians were supposed to have been checking out the subway system. You know that what's taking place in the Middle East is going to happen here. It's only a matter of time. You know that we're going to have a Mumbai incident in a mall. You know that 10,000 Stinger missiles that Obama and Holder ran into Syria, ran into Benghazi, that disappeared, and we hear through the grapevine that the ambassador was either shipping them or trying to buy them back. But they say it was 10,000 Stinger missiles, and it could be as high as 20,000 Stinger missiles. You know that there are people in this country ready to use those Stinger missiles, and it would only take 50 of them to do 50 airports, and that's the end of the airline business in this country, plus parts of the stock market. And you know that 50 malls or 50 classrooms, that's the end of all your rights as an American, because the fifth will have hit the shan, and only God knows how it's going to turn out. So having said that, there is an article that was posted, I think, the 2nd of October, 2012. And it's interesting, and I thought I would share it with you, and we'll learn about it together. The picture shows the Soviet Army on parade, and it says, Russian Red Jihad. In a recent exclusive article for WorldNet Daily, former Soviet bloc Romanian intelligence officer, Lieutenant General Ion Mihai Pacepa, writes how the recent wave of Islamic radicalization in the Middle East from the Arab Spring, that's Obama's Arab Spring, and CNN's Arab Spring, to the recent 9/11/2012 Benghazi, that's Obama's Benghazi, and Hillary's Benghazi. We came, we saw, we killed him. Ha, ha, ha. And then they did the same thing to the American ambassador that was done to Gaddafi. And the attempt to take over the Egyptian government, which was stopped by the Egyptian military and by the grace of God, were not the work of spontaneous attacks, I'm going back to the article, but rather the result of a decades-long, carefully planned operation by the Soviet Union. The goal of the Soviet Union was to have, a warm water port for their navy. I'm saying that. In July 1978, U.S. President Jimmy Carter granted political asylum to Lieutenant General Pacepa, who eventually became a U.S. citizen. Pacepa is the highest-ranking intelligence officer to ever defect from the Soviet bloc. He has assisted the CIA, which praised him for providing an important and unique contribution to the USA. In his article, Pacheco notes the day of our ambassador's murder, September 11th. Who would not be on guard September 11th? Why would you leave any embassy wide open on September the 11th? The year after 9/11, my wife was flying to North Carolina to meet with school friends on an annual meeting. And she was flying on 9/11 the second year. And I said, no, you're not. I'm driving you. Because I don't want to be surprised on 9/11. And Muslims and communists are big on dates. Remember that. 9/11, as of 2012, also happened to be the very day the Kremlin celebrated a significant anniversary, 125 years since the birth of Felix Dzerzhinsky, the founder of the KGB, now rechristened FSB. So the KGB is now the FSB. Pacheco continued. My past experience at the top of the Soviet bloc intelligence community gives me solid ground to state that the Muslim attacks on U.S. embassies and the assassination of ambassador to Libya carried out with Soviet-made rocket-propelled grenades, Kalashnikovs, and Molotov cocktails were just as spontaneous as the May Day parades in Moscow, and that they have the same organizers. Emphasis added. Communist inspired out of Russia? That is exactly the claim that Pacheco is making. He goes on to cite a personal encounter in 1972 with then KGB chairman Yuri Andropov, in which Andropov outlined a secret Soviet plan to foment a revolution in the Islamic world via the use of anti-American and anti-Semitic propaganda, including the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, translated into Arabic and disseminated throughout the Middle East. The idea was to portray the United States as warmongering, Zionist country financed by Jewish money and run by a rapacious council of the Elders of Zion. The KGB's derisive epithet for the U.S. Congress, intent on transforming the rest of the world into a Jewish fiefdom. Pacheco recalls Andropov as telling him. Pacheco refers to Andropov as the father of today's anti-Semitism. And international terrorism. Most notably, Pacheco recalled, Andropov made a point that 1 billion adversaries could cause far greater damage than could a mere 150 million. Even Mohammed, he said, had not limited his religion to Arab countries. The KGB boss described the Muslim world as a waiting Petri dish, in which we could nurture the strain of hate America grown from the bacterium of Marxist-Leninist thought. Islamic anti-Semitism ran deep, he said. Pacheco noted his specific role in the project. Before I left Romania for good in 1978, my Romanian espionage service alone had sent some 500 undercover agents to various Islamic countries. Most of them were religious servants, engineers, medical doctors, teachers, and art instructors. According to a rough estimate received from Moscow by 1978, the whole Soviet bloc intelligence community had sent around 4,000 such agents of influence to the Islamic world. going to take a break to get a sip of water, and I'm going to play a little Jesus tune for you.
Your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God.
Oh, it's over. Okay, we're back. We're going to give you one more tune, and I'll cut it short.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back. That was Maskenada by Dizzy Gillespie. We're back to the story of the Russian infiltration of the Middle East. From then on, the U.S. had to contend with Islamic terrorism. No one can say for certain how much influence these efforts had, said Pacheppa, but it should have made some dent. A year after the entire Soviet bloc intelligence community had some 4,000 agents in the Islamic world, Islamic revolutionaries toppled the Shah in Iran and stormed into the U.S. embassy in Tehran, taking American hostages. From then on, the U.S. has had to contend with Islamic terrorism, most notably with Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda. In 1983, Hezbollah introduced itself to the world by bombing the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut. We were not ready then, we're not ready now. A decade later, Hezbollah carried out terrorist activities, attacks on the Israeli Mutual Exchange building in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Terrorism then reached the shores of the USA when Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda network bombed the World Trade Center in New York, followed a few years later by the destruction of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. Then, so the first bombing was on the Clintons, and the Clintons did nothing about it. Typical Democrats kicked the can down the road to the hiding under the rock Republicans. And then in 2000, Al-Qaeda attacked the U.S. Navy destroyer USS Cole. In 2001, they orchestrated the September 11th terrorist attacks on the U.S. mainland. I just watched those videos again tonight. You had to see the people jumping off the buildings. It was really sad. This horrific attack resulted in the destruction of four commercial airliners, the destruction of the Twin Towers, a severe damage to the Pentagon, and the loss of nearly 3,000 lives. The Democrats will tell you we only lost 2,900, but they don't count the 200 pro-life babies who died with their pro-life mothers. That makes it 3,100, and those kids all should be named, and they should be on the wall next to their mother. Islamic terrorism has cost America dearly. But can it accurately be said that it has, at least in part, been the result of covert Soviet operations? Jimmy from Brooklyn says that the apartment house that was blown up in Moscow was blown up by the KGB to turn the Russian people against the Muslims and to mislead the West. Critics of this theory quickly dismiss any notions of Soviet-Muslim collaborations, citing the apparent incompatibility between communism, atheism, and Islam. But a diligent study into Islam in the Soviet Union reveals a little-known but yet highly relevant history, especially in the light of the recent chaos in the Middle East. Zawahiri, who took Osama bin Laden's place, is said to have been KGB trained. I don't know if he went to Moscow for training or he was trained in the Middle East, but he is said to be KGB trained. Soviet power in Islam. In 1984, the Communist Party controlled Novosti Press in Moscow published a small booklet entitled Soviet Power and Islam. This booklet detailed the history of Soviet-Muslim collaboration, starting with the infamous October Revolution of 1917. Muslims living in Central and Eastern Russia initially supported Lenin and his Bolshevik revolution against what they perceived as the anti-Islamic government of the Tsar. The booklet cited the following statement from the Muslim Board of Russia, dated September 15, 1923. By the holy mercy of Allah, the revolution that took place in Russia has eliminated the ruthless, despotic autocracy which used to persecute the religion of Islam. October 26, 1926, the Soviets sponsored all Russia Congress of the Muslim clergy, open with the following telegram to the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. On behalf of all Muslims, the Congress expresses gratitude and devotion to Soviet power, the defender of the oppressed peoples of the East, and promises to support the Soviet government's measures to consolidate the gains of the revolution. The Soviet Union set up special Muslim boards that were responsible for the supervision of the mosques and guidance of the spiritual life of Muslims in the USSR, according to the booklet. These Muslim boards included the Muslim Board of Central Asia and Kazakhstan, with headquarters in Tashkent, the Muslim Board of Siberia and the European part of the USSR, with headquarters in the town of Ufa, the Muslim Board of North Caucasus and Dagestan, with headquarters in Manchakala, the Muslim Board of Transcaucasia, with headquarters in Baku. Muslim devotion to Soviet power became most evident in the 70s when the Arab countries went to war against Israel. After the Fourth Arab-Israeli War in 1973, the leaders of the Muslim religious institutions of the USSR convened a conference on November 13th to 14th, 1973, under the motto, for support of the just struggle of the peoples of the Arab countries for the liberation of their territories for national independence and social progress. The conference was attended by delegations from Egypt, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, Kuwait, and it also adopted an appeal to all Muslims and people of goodwill, which stated, "We Muslims of the USSR express our full solidarity with the fraternal Arab peoples fighting for the unity, freedom, independence, and national sovereignty of their countries in accordance with our religious duty. We insist on the establishment of a just and lasting peace in the Middle East, the sacred land of the followers of various religions. To promote the establishment of such a peace, we demand the implementation of the resolution passed on October 22, 1973, by the UN Security Council. The immediate and unconditional withdrawal of Israeli troops from all occupied Arab lands and recognition of the legitimate rights of the Arab people of Palestine to determine their own future." The notion of self-determination has been a historic linchpin for the Soviet-backed communist revolutions and insurgencies in China, Cuba, Vietnam, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Uruguay, and Angola. Realizing the unique nature of the Middle East, the Soviet Union knew it could rely on traditional Marxism-Leninism or a Russian white face to ferment anti-capital and anti-Western revolution. Instead, the Kremlin adopted its rhetoric to a more Islamic tone and employed the use of Muslims already living in the Soviet Union who remained loyal to the Soviet government to help carry out the mission. Hang in there, and we'll give you another tune and I'll catch my breath. I'll cut this one short too. Oh, it looks like... Oh, this is a nice one. You'll like this one.
questa mia canzone, inno dell'amore. Te la canto adesso con il mio dolore, così forte, così grande che
things unfold in the Middle East, we may change our perspective and our outlook on what's taking place. We don't want to wake up one day and find out that we've been screwed by everybody. And we didn't see it coming. It's one thing to see it coming. It's another to be caught face down, pants down. The booklet cited the following statement made by Kazi Kalinoff. So there was a booklet created to be as a tutorial for Soviets infiltrating the Middle East and to help carry out the mission. A representative of the Muslim Board of Central Asia and Kazakhstan, on behalf of the Muslim clergy and believers in Tajikistan. So you can see the Muslim clergy has a big influence on its parishioners. Okay. So I say Islam is a religion and a government. And it can be a government inside a government. The The Muslims welcomed the new 1977 Constitution of the USSR. For each line in it distinctly shows concern for man. They are completely satisfied with its wise content and great humanism. We approve of it entirely and unqualifiedly. Soviet Muslim Terror Connection. Another publication that also provides relevant information about Soviet penetration and exploitation of Islam. They say that the communists have infiltrated all religion, including my religion. I look for signs of it all the time. I do see a muzzle that has been put on the Catholic Church in the United States. They're not as outspoken as they once were. And 501C has a lot to do with it. So you can see that there is a communist influence in the government that is used, their tools are used to muzzle free speech. Before his defection to the West in 1961, Anatoly Golitsyn served as a member of the KGB's ultra-secretive Department D, which dealt with long-range disinformation. Department D was subordinate only to the Central Committee of the Communist Party and was given access to the executive branches of government and two departments of the Central Committee to enable it to prepare and carry out operations that required the approval or support of the party leadership, according to Golitsyn. Golitsyn also confirmed Soviet collaboration in the Muslim world would be used as an instrument of war against the West. In March 1965, the first conference of Muslims of Asia and Africa was held in Bandung. 35 countries were represented. The Mufti of Central Asia and Kazakhstan, Babkinov, led the Soviet delegation. The conference discussed the use of Muslim proselytizing societies as weapons against imperialism. The need to harness Islam in the service of revolution has been openly discussed by communist strategists. Based on Soviet experience in Central Asia, the problem of achieving this is considered difficult but soluble. He also explained the reasons behind the Soviet Union's sponsorship of terrorism. The objective of violence is to create chaos and anarchy, like Chicago, to impose additional strains on ruling democratic parties, to eliminate their blessed leaders, to force them to resort to undemocratic measures, and to demonstrate to the public their inability to maintain law and order, leaving the field open to the legal Communist Party to present itself as the only effective alternative force. In addition to Golitsyn, General Alexander Saharovsky, the head of the KGB First Chief Directorate, responsible for foreign intelligence from 56 to 71, said in today's world, when nuclear arms have made military force obsolete, terrorism should become our main weapon. Interesting, huh? Considering Golitsyn's and Saharovsky's evidence, we have every reason to believe that Moscow's endgame for Islamic terrorism was the establishment of communism. In the report of the Central Committee of the CPSU to the 26th Congress of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev, the Soviet leader, told the Assembly of Communist Party delegates, "The banner of Islam may lead into struggle for liberation." Is this still Russian policy? Shortly before he was assassinated via polonium poisoning in 2006, KGB defector Alexander Litvinenko said The center of global terrorism is not in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, or the Chechen Republic. The terrorism infection creeps away worldwide from the cabinets of the Lubyanka Square and the Kremlin. Lubyanka Square's headquarters for KGB, now FSB. In 2008, Russian defector Lieutenant Colonel Konstantin Preobrashensky published a book, KGB's New Trojan Horse, Americans of Russian Descent. In it, he states that unlike the apolitical CIA or the British MI6, the FSB, the Department of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, he describes the FSB as the armed unit of the Communist Party that remained intact following 1991 restructuring into the modern-day Russian Federation. The FSB and the Communist Party share the same ideas, Preobrashensky writes, the Czechist name given to KGB officers even now remain communists in their hearts. One well-known Czechist or former agent of the armed unit is current Russian Vladimir Putin, an admirer of Yuri Andropov. Andropov was the head of the KGB from 67 to 82, who personally told Lieutenant Pacheppa of the need to use the Islamic world, most notably the Middle East, to stir up anti-American and anti-Israel sentiment for the sake of the Marxist-Leninist revolution. Putin's very motives may well be extrapolated from the following statement he made as president in 2005. The collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the century. In his second book, The Perestroika Deception, published in 1995, Anatoly Golitsyn wrote, when the right moment comes, the mask will be dropped and the Russians, with Chinese help, will seek to impose their system on the West on their own terms as the culmination of the second October Socialist Revolution. With the Middle East engulfed in ongoing Islamic revolution, it remains to be seen what the outcome will be of it all. But one thing that is certain, as the clocks draw closer to 2017, marking the 100th anniversary of the first socialist revolution, one should not dismiss the role of Russia. This article was written by a guy named Christian Gomez. Okay, so having said that, we can give you a tune. And do you know that now when arrests are made of Latinos, they have to be read their rights in Spanish? Yep, they're called merengue rights.
You're under arrest. Sergeant, read this man his merengue rights.
Para aquellos que se quejan tanto, para aquellos que solo critican, para aquellos que usan las armas, para aquellos que nos contaminan, para aquellos que hacen la guerra, para aquellos que viven pecando, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que nos contagian.
Give you my
own true love. my own true love.
What do you think the percentage of communists are in this country? You think it's 2%, 5%, 10%? Could it be 50? That would be scary, wouldn't it? I'm closing with a tune in memory of all of the vets who served the Confederacy and fought for what they believed in against their northern brothers. And when it was all over, slowly we became brothers again. And as we fought and died in Korea, in World War II, in World War I, in the Spanish Civil War, as we fought and died as brothers once again, we were attacked by dividers that are known as communists, and all they want to do is splinter us up, play the race card, play the divide and conquer card, and strike the colors. So far, they've taken down the rebel flag, which is a tribute to rebel veterans, and they are our brothers. And we had our differences, and we resolved them, and we are brothers once again. And Hollywood should stop making fun of the Southland. Hollywood should get a country. So having said that, I'm going to close with "The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down." And I want to thank the Southland for its great contribution to the unification of the United States. And I ain't just a whistling Dixie.
The last song, thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been a true delight.
Virgil Kane is my name, and I drove on the Denver train. The Stonewall Cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. I took the train.
Singing.
good night.